Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today we celebrate the last Sunday of Ordinary Time, the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ the King, 20 November 2011. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen. I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' And he will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. As we watch monarchies or tyrannies fall throughout the Arabian Peninsula, kings are being rather few, aren't they? We don't have a good sense, especially in the last 150 years, of what kings do or could do, or how kings work. And yet, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, right? Your kingdom come. What does that mean? Well, every year, the church gives us a reminder that Jesus isn't just some nice guy. That Jesus isn't just our friend or brother, our companion on the journey. Jesus is our King. Now, how many people read fantasy novels? Right? If you read a fantasy novel and there's a king, the king walks in and everyone does homage, right? Well, we do that as we enter the church and genuflect before Christ the King in the tabernacle. You see little pieces of this throughout our celebration. But what does it mean to have Christ as our King? Especially in this final judgment scene. Jesus speaks very little about heaven and hell in the Gospels. There isn't a whole lot spoken. We have the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And there's definitely a separation between the bosom of Abraham and the place of fiery suffering where the rich man is. Right? Lazarus in his suffering is taken immediately up to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man is suffering, wanting just for Lazarus, right, to dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. The rich man's still not getting it, right, wanting Lazarus to be his servant. The problem is, Jesus is the King, and we're all servants. So how does this work? When I first got to seminary, everyone was talking about, it must have been cycle A readings, right? We're in the Gospel of Matthew. This is our last reading from Matthew for a while. We'll have Luke, we'll have Matthew, Mark next year, and then Luke, and then we'll get back to Matthew in 3 years. So we have this reading, and I got to seminary, and everyone was saying, you know, like, beware, Matthew 25, verse 40. I'm like, I knew John 3:16. I'd been to enough sports events, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. All of you have memorized that, right? All right, so now memorize Matthew 25, verse 40. Whatever you have done or failed to do, for the least of these you've done for me. Wow, is that powerful or what? So because this idea of King was probably too big for us, and Christ our King in glory in heaven on a big throne was maybe too far away, God sent his Son to walk among us. And because of the incarnation, the power of Christ walking in a human body, around a little piece of real estate in Israel, right? You can visit the whole place. It's smaller than Southeast Alaska, a lot smaller. Everything changes. Who was the first to run into this? Well, Paul, on his way to Damascus, right? If you pair Paul's conversion story with Matthew 25, verse 40, you have a powerful witness of who Jesus is and where he expects to be respected and adored, give homage to and cared for. Paul is running full tilt toward Damascus with letters that give him power to root out these followers of the way, those who claim that this Jesus of Nazareth is God. There's only one God, Yahweh, and no others shall be worshipped. Paul was on solid ground. He had letters from all the leaders of the church, the synagogue, the temple, and he was headed to Damascus to take things apart. There's no horse in the story, sorry, to all the great artists who played Paul on a horse. But Paul falls to the ground, and in great flashing light, he hears the voice from heaven.
Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Good thing we got the microphone working.
And Paul, being trained as a lawyer, right, says, who are you, sir, that I might answer?
I am Jesus of Nazareth.
Now, wait a minute. Jesus at this point has been dead for 15 to 20 years. How could Paul be persecuting Jesus of Nazareth? The Gospel of Matthew hasn't been written yet. What's going on? Well, here's the huge insight into what it is to be Christian. Jesus said, you know, it's going to be too hard for them to get it. Yes, I'll hide myself in bread and wine, and they'll come into my presence at the Blessed Sacrament and worship and adore. But then I stay locked up in the church, lonely, and without visitation. How many churches have you visited down south that are locked up? Right? I want to make a visit, and I kind of just press my face to the wall. Hi, Jesus. I know you're in there. Our church is not locked. Come and sit in his presence. But you know what? There's an easier way. Easier even than that. Jesus said, I'm going to hide myself in my people. I'm going to hide myself in my people. So that when we see a brother or sister, we see Christ himself. Christ our friend, Christ our companion, absolutely. But also Christ our King. And there's some obligation to do homage to our King, for we are citizens not of this world. Yes, I have a U.S. passport, which gives me access to almost every corner of the globe. But I also have a mark given to me at baptism that gives me access to eternal life, which I think is going to be a lot bigger. Right? There's a lot more real estate in heaven than there will ever be on this earth. But how do I get there? How do I ensure that my citizenship in heaven is, if you will, guaranteed? Well, Christ has made that promise that we are all welcome to join him in heaven. Every single person, no one excluded. So why is there a hell? And why, unfortunately, is it populated? Because of the gift of our beautiful free will. And God says, if you don't want to be with me, you don't have to be. Imagine if we spend our life spurning God's presence in one another and in the world. You think he's going to force us to spend eternity with him? That sounds pretty cruel. Heaven is created for all those who don't want to be with God. And we choose to go there ourselves. He separates the sheep from the goats in today's gospel. This gospel should be a giant wake-up call. Like, am I sitting on the right or the left? Now, for all of you sitting out there, I don't know if that's the right facing the altar.
Yeah.
Or on my right facing you. So all of you are on my left. Sorry, goats. Or are you on the right facing the altar? Sheep. Imagine if our politicians running for office said, all right, everyone in America, my sheep, follow my voice. We'd all go, I'm not a sheep. I don't want to follow you. And hence the reason there's a hell. If we won't follow our political leaders, how much more are we able to follow our Lord? And I'd suggest not so well. Because we have no practice in following anyone. I'm in charge all the time. And I do it my way. Right? That's the song they sing in hell. Thank you, Frank Sinatra, but that's the song they sing in hell. I did it my way, as they slide into eternal damnation. You can't do it my way and honor Christ in the poor. You can't do it my way and care for the immigrant or the indigent. Imagine our U.S. immigration policy in front of the throne of Jesus. You welcome the stranger. Not. We kick them out and orphan their children. We're in serious trouble. As a people, as a nation, as individuals, unless we learn to find Jesus in one another. Jesus said, it's going to be too hard for them to see me up on a throne in heaven. Only rare glimpses of that through the clouds. But if I can hide myself in one another, I'm sure they'll take care of me. I'm sure they will. Let's not let Jesus down on that promise. Let's find him in one another and there honor our King.
Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.